This is the Friday, February 15th, 2019 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks, Delaney. Nice to be here.
Mark, I had to cut you off there right at the end of the program. Yeah. We were talking about the lean hog market. Give us the rest of your thoughts.
Well, you know, how high can hogs go this summer? You know, $85, $90 has been a really tough area to get through over the last 30, 40 years in the hog market. We took it out one time when we had the pet scare and the virus sent hog prices, you know, through the room, through the roof. But in general, that $90 mark is a really tough mark. The way the hogs have been acting, if we can get a Chinese deal, I think that's a realistic target. And I can't imagine what would stop it if we do get some real good Chinese buying in here. We know they want the pork. We know they want protein. So hopefully we can see some higher prices. Without the trade deal, there's still an awful lot of risk. We know that $50, $55 wouldn't be out of the question if we don't get a Chinese deal.
When you look at pork cutout values, we've seen the lowest value since December of 2009. We've seen still pretty good domestic demand and international demand. Why are we seeing such a low pork cutout value?
You know, we just have a lot of hogs, and demand has been good, but when you expect all this Chinese buying, and all of a sudden it's not there, the market has to readjust for it. So, you know, I think what we'll see is pork being featured more at the grocery level, and that can make a big difference. And there would be no reason why they shouldn't. The consumer wants some lower prices. Pork's a great alternative, and hopefully we'll see it catch up and maybe eat through some of these numbers and see some of these cutouts move a little higher.
Yeah, I know when I go to the grocery store, pork has almost always got good prices, good sales and whatnot.
Yeah.
What about when you look at the USDA data dump that we talked about on the main program that's coming out next week with the export sales? Will that add some volatility to the pork markets if we see confirmation that, yes, China is indeed buying more pork?
I think that'll certainly help. Without it, you know, it's a case of the good news will rally it, the bad news is going to break it. It's really that simple. I hate to see all of our eggs in this Chinese basket, but when it comes to corn, beans, and pork, it's the game.
Mm-hmm.
And what really concerns me is when President Carter put on the embargo against the Russians back in 79, not only did we lose our biggest consumer, but we turned our best consumer into our biggest competitor over the next 20 years. And I think what's happening with China is we're losing our best customer, and we know that they're going to be planting more beans and more grain. You know, we don't want to see the same thing happen where they become a big competitor as opposed to a big purchaser. So hopefully we can get things worked out and get this deal done.
Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully they don't become a competitor in the feeder cattle markets. We didn't get to really talk about that during the main show, but feeders have also been in this kind of range since the beginning of January, 140 to 145. What's it going to take for us to break out of that?
Well, we had a running start at it today with the lower prices in the feeders. We've been in this wedge formation on the charts, getting very close, if not, we might have even taken it out today on the downside. That certainly opens up the door for more risk out here. The feeders haven't performed nearly as well as the cattle have over the last several weeks. I'm not sure really what's behind that. We've got relatively cheap corn out here, but the feeders can lead the way. And that's, again, one of the things we talked about, the fat cattle making a cyclical high. If the feeders are going to move lower, that really plays into the hands of some lower cattle prices as well.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a question here on social media. We've got a lot of great questions in this week, so folks, please do continue to send those. Matt in Amherst, Wisconsin said, will the Australian flooding impact our cattle prices here?
I think that's a little bit of a stretch, certainly in the near term. They lost, I think it was 300,000 head to the flooding there. It's a large number. It's a bite out of their production. But in the long run, I don't see it as being a major factor. The market's been a little bit positive here in the fat cattle market the last couple of days. But with the sell-off and the cash, I think it's just all indicative that it's not going to be a major player. Now, if it continues to flood and they have, you know, start really ramping those numbers up, then certainly come June and July, when we're expecting more cattle anyway, if they're not there to participate in that, that could be supportive. But I just don't believe we'll see those kind of losses. We haven't seen them to this point, and hopefully for the Australians, they won't see them.
All right, Mark, we've got to talk about oil. The last time you were here in December, we talked about oil maybe hitting that bottom end now. We've got Philip in Dresden, Ontario at Agridome on Twitter. Would a resurgence in oil prices over $100 help corn prices, or is that simply a non-starter based on the present economic and political reality?
Well, if we're going to see $100 oil again, it's going to be coming from a couple of factions. First of all, lower output, whether it's the Saudis or the OPEC countries, do something in terms of production, that'll do it. But the other input is the American economy. The American economy still maintains its strength. The stock market, I think, is within 5 or 7% of its all-time highs. If we continue to perform well for an economy, then oil prices can go higher. What will that do for corn? Certainly with the amount of ethanol we've got out there, the higher the crude oil prices go, that's a boost for ethanol. The better moving away from some of those big ethanol stocks helps the corn market, certainly. So is it enough on its own to move the market? No. If we grow another big crop, is it going to make a difference? No. If we don't have a Chinese deal? No. But, you know, if we could put a couple of things together, that would certainly help the corn market.
Okay, going off of that then, we've got Connor in San Diego, California, saying, why is oil this high?
Well, I think it's this high because the U.S. economy has been pretty strong, number one. We've seen cutbacks from some of the OPEC countries. So, you know, it's a manipulated game out here. The Russians certainly want higher oil prices. It's the basis for virtually everything they do out there around the world. It finances all their little expeditions. So they're certainly in favor of higher oil prices. So in the meantime, we're just kind of in a meandering range. Mm-hmm. We hit the $30 lows. We've rallied and seen, you know, $80 and $100 and even higher prices. You know, we're sitting here in this range. Can we move it higher? Sure. But I think it's going to be as much a function of the U.S. economy because we've seen it being very sensitive to the stock market. And if the stock market does fold again, then I think we'll see some lower crude oil prices.
Okay, Mark, we talked about this during the main program a little bit, marketing ahead.
Yeah.
We've got a question about that from Dave in Missouri. He said, where should farmers be in regard to having new crop soybeans and corn hedged or contracted? And at what levels would you sell your entire APH bushels?
Well, if I'm going to sell my entire APH bushels, it better be at a pretty good level.
Right.
Certainly better than where it is now. But the fact of the matter is we're in a unique year here. Farmers for the last 3 or 4 years have missed these early opportunities to sell grain. And we've always been a proponent and still are of selling grain long before harvest. Could this be the year that farmers sell out? If we get a rally to 420 corn, 430 corn, to 990 beans, $10 beans, are farmers going to take that and say, thank you very much? We think that's certainly possible if we get that kind of a rally. If we do and we see a big shift of the farmer-owned grain getting into the system out of the farmer hands, that's a strong sign to me that these markets can move higher. So if you are going to get aggressive in selling grain, whatever levels this year, whether it's today, whether it's in May or June on a rally or July, I would certainly want to keep the upside open once you sell that grain and look to buy a call option. Because as I've said many times, the market will only go up and stay up once it's out of the farmer hands. So if we do shake a lot of grain out early, I think that's a very positive sign for the grain markets. And if you're one of those selling it out early, I'd certainly re-own it with a call option.
That does kind of pose an interesting idea that maybe this year farmers are going to be just thankful that we have, you know, $4 corn or near $10 beans.
Yeah.
In talking with your customers, is that kind of the mindset that, yes, I just want to get rid of it? The futures options out on the board are relatively good prices?
I don't know that that's the majority of the thought process out there. I think they're looking for a good opportunity. We keep telling them in our email to look for these opportunities, and we've got price levels set for them that for whatever reason we get there, we're going to sell grain. But again, I think that if we do sell grain early, we certainly want to re-own it with a call option. We've seen surpluses switch in a heartbeat in these grain markets, and I think the worst thing that could happen to the American farmer this year is they sell too early and wind up missing a nice rally this summer. They'll be kicking themselves.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if we do get a good rally, they don't want to watch it wither away by harvest and then be in a worse shape than they're in today. So you're in this dichotomy of, I want to sell to avoid a problem, but can it go higher? So to me, the only way to play that game, again, is with the options.
With the options. All right, Mark Gold, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Join us again next week when we'll take an in-depth look at the trade ahead of a major deadline, and Dan Huber will join me at the market-to-market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.